What is going on, guys? Welcome back to Creeps in the Crypt. As always, I am Eric, and I am joined by...
Christian!
And Sam.
So, we're coming off this week from H.H. Holmes,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to be starting our third entry. We're going to do a one-off.
Is it our third already?
Yeah. Nice. This will be number three. And it's going to give some H.H. Holmes vibes.
A little bit. A
little bit of H.H. Holmes vibes. But this is actually like a lot older than the serial killers we've been covering this summer.
This might be the oldest one we've covered so far.
Yeah.
You guys are going for the potentially the oldest, OGs. Yeah.
This one's just a fun one. We threw this in here just because it's close to home, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Since, you know, it's literally like... An hour and a half away.
I was going to say an hour and a half.
And it just seemed like a good time to do it.
I agree.
So, this story has everything, though. It's got serial killings, robbery, ghost, potentially.
I was already looking at, like, haunted places you can buy today. And I was pitching them to Eric. And see, look, Sam, like, her face is like, yes. And Eric's face was like... He was like,
this seems like a lot of work.
I'm going to continue watching my TikTok video that's like 5 seconds long.
He's just going to turn the volume up.
Yes, that's exactly
what that's my go-to, because we'll like do pre-pro for like an hour when Sam first gets here. And then you two will just start talking about random bullshit. And I'm like, all right, let's watch something on the topic that we're going to cover just so everybody's on the same page.
But we only see each other once a week.
I get that. I get that.
Well,
but I'm like, I'm busy. Let's watch this. There's some good information in here. And it's just like, yeah, this tote bag. You got to check out this tote bag by Marc Jacobs. And it literally is the dumbest shit ever. Route? Yeah, it's like the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen. It's a tote bag that says tote on it.
It says the tote bag.
Even dumber.
And it's $192 for the black one.
No, thank you.
I didn't say I wanted that one. I was fine with the dupe. I'm okay with the dupe.
I love a good dupe.
Well, you know who else kind of got duped?
Dupe?
Our subject today.
Oh, my God.
Did she get duped?
We'll never know.
We will never know. Unless we go. We can go.
We might have to take a road trip for this one.
I'm down.
Yep. It's on the list.
How many times have you guys been to Charleston and never been to the old Charleston County Jail?
No, I've never been to it.
I've never been to it either. The old city
jail? Yeah,
me either. I've been to like Charleston.
I've been to the slave market. Charleston's a beautiful town.
It is a beautiful town.
Tons of history there. And
me and you have gone. I've been like four other times before that and never been.
Me and Dustin went on a day drinking binge in downtown Charleston 2 years ago. Well, I mean,
You gotta go day drinking if you're in Charleston.
Well, duh. There's so many rooftops and Cosmos to drink. Mm. Mimosas.
I just walk around the old town and
I didn't make enough for hop. Mimosas. Oh, I was too hungry for that.
We started with mimosas.
Oh, see, I didn't even start with that. I was too hungover. I have to take a...
It may have been our downfall, but...
It always goes one or two ways.
I'm more like a Bloody Mary at noon.
No.
Shut up!
Your nasty ketchup drinks away from me.
You're gonna I'm really drinking mimosas. Hold on a second. You're really gonna judge me on a Bloody Mary like that? So hard.
Yes, I don't like them. I am not a Bloody Mary girly. I'm a mimosa girly.
She's a white cat energy.
No Clamato juice for you, huh?
Oh, dude, I will. Ugh. What was the drink that I got from the gas station? I was like hyping it up, and then you were like, "This is the most disgusting thing ever."
I have no clue.
The chilado. It is clam juice and tomato juice and a Budweiser mixed together, and it is the best hangover cure in this entire world.
It's not clam juice, is it?
Yes, there's clam juice in it.
That's fucking foul.
A gelato.
That is
amazing. You're judging so hard and it's not even funny.
That is so fucking gross.
It's not gross. Why are you both looking at me with like such disdain? It's so
I will that never. That might be more horrid than what we're going to be covering today.
When I tell you, I will never be that hungover to drink one of those.
I'll drink it sober.
No.
Well, a gelato? You would never drink one of those?
No, I will never be in that dire
straight. I have to look this disgusting shit up.
It's in like a can. It's like
they
a
have
big...
two of them. There's one that's the Clamato, and then they have the gelato.
The Clamato is just the juice.
It's got clam juice in it, and then I think the gelato has... I don't remember, but it's delicious. Do you know how many soccer games I brought that to? No.
What the fuck?
A ton. More than I would
I
like
will
to
put wine sure in my Yeti.
Are you sure this has fucking clam juice in it?
I know the Clamato does, which I also like.
Yep. Clamato.
Yep. I like that one. What about the Chilato?
That's what it is.
See?
Chilada. Yeah. It's a Chilada.
Yep. It's delicious. Why are you using
that? That is fucking foul.
It's not foul. That's delicious.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on this one. For once, I agree with Eric.
Yeah, that's Bud Light and Clamato. That is
foul.
I will like literally chug one of those and feel like brand new.
I might have to sleep in the guest room tonight.
I don't know what happened tonight. I can't drink one at night. It's there's
just
like
the
a
fact that you drink that
no,
shit.
No, it's like a cutoff. Like there's like 2 o'clock is the cutoff for gelato time.
I want to see you chug one and I'm gonna put it on the Instagram.
I will absolutely chug one.
Save it for next week when we cover Albert Fish.
I will absolutely for Albert Fish, absolutely will chug a gelato.
I'm gonna need a drink.
Yeah, me and you are gonna drink up. Like normal people.
I'm gonna drink like a fucking human.
Yeah. You drink like the demon from the seventh circle of hell that you're fucking from.
Second
circle of hell?
Second
circle. Okay.
That tracks.
Well, anyway, let's get into today's topic, Sam, before I have to, you know, just end
Throw
the show
up.
And fire Christian and find a new co-host for her disgusting drink choices.
Are you going to have Lisa take over for me? She's not going to say anything.
She's not going to drink chiladas.
Yes, she will.
She's a little garbage rat.
Yep.
She is.
All right.
Anyway, we are diving into what some will say is America's first female serial killer. Others aren't so sure she killed anyone at all, even though police found a bunch of skeletons underneath their inn. We are talking about the one and only Lavinia Fisher. And she was born in 1793. But the location of her birth, her maiden name, or really any information at all about her childhood and adolescence is unknown. And I tried. Lavinia and her husband, John, owned an inn just outside of Charleston, South Carolina, called 6 Mile Wayfarer House in the early 1800s. It was named the 6 Mile Wayfarer House simply because it was located 6 miles outside of Charleston.
Well, that's a great naming structure.
Listen, it's practical.
Yeah, because you're like, well, I'm 6 miles from Charleston.
Yep. But at that point, why are you stopping? You have 6 miles to go.
Yeah, but I mean, 6 miles on like...
horseback?
Horse and buggy. Or if you're walking.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
It was before the time. When did automobiles become like a thing?
About 100 years before this. Or 100 years after. Yeah, 100 years after this.
Yeah, I was going to say 1900s.
Really?
Right?
18, like 18 something.
Wait, when was she born? 1860?
She was born in 1793.
So and this happened about 1820-ish.
Yeah, we're like 1819, 1820.
I want to say the 1900s is when like automobiles were like...
Like the Model T?
Yeah. Yes. You're thinking like early turn of the century.
Okay.
Wow. So I didn't think it was that far.
So yeah, horse and buggy, walking.
Hoofing it.
Train. Yep,
literally.
Right? Train.
Maybe. I don't know.
Train. I don't even think trains were. No, trains weren't a thing at this point in time.
Maybe not like passenger trains.
No, I don't even think railroads were even really established.
Okay.
If they were, it wasn't like.
So horse and buggy and walking were your only options. This was
probably around the time that railroads were becoming a thing.
Okay.
Because this is pre-Civil War.
Yes.
So.
Okay. So, John and Lavinia were a very attractive couple. She's very young when she's married. She's in her, like, mid-20s. Most women
back then.
I guess it's considered old back then.
Yeah, I mean, they were married at, like, fucking 13, you know?
Yeah. But that's not really that young when you're, like...
You know, you could die at the rickets, you know?
Yeah.
40.
So, Lavinia and John were a very attractive couple. They were well respected in town, even though Lavinia was quite the flirt. It's said that she would charm the male guests who stopped in for the night on their way to the port city and chat with them about their travels. She would also subtly turn their conversations to finances and ask them what they did for work, what they were going to buy or trade when they got to Charleston. And if she thought that they were wealthy, she would poison them with oleander tea before sending them off to bed for the night. John Fisher, her husband, would then creep into the men's room and rob them after the tea had taken effect. According to one version of the story, some of the men would die from the poison tea and the couple would bury them under the inn.
She was pulling a Cosby before Cosby, dude.
Right, she's the OG Cosby. Mm. Another version is the men would just sleep through the robbery and wake up in the morning none the wiser. There is one more version of the story where the bodies of the men Lavinia would dose with the tea would fall through the floor of their bedrooms via a trap door that they'd rigged beneath the beds. So, like, H.H. Holmes vibes.
Serious H.H. Right Holmes vibes.
But.
Surprise!
You just fall into a pit.
Freaking Buffalo Bill style.
Yeah.
It puts the lotion on the skin. Cue or it gets good, the hose again.
Cue up Goodbye Horses. Tuck your dick Ta-da! Between your... Actually, let me save that one for next week.
Oh, God.
That is absolutely one of those.
Stories began circulating when the men in the area began complaining about a group of questionable highwaymen who were cheating during poker games that were hosted by the local inns, such as the 6 Mile Wayfarer House, as well as 5 Mile House. And guess how far 5 Mile House was from Charleston?
10 miles.
Correct.
No. Nailed it.
That was sarcasm. It's 5 miles. A farmer named Stephen Lacoste reported one of his cows were stolen from his pasture, and he accused these highwaymen of escalating from just their simple gambling schemes to just blatant thievery at this point.
Well, I know horse thieving's a hanging offense, but what about cow thieving?
Yeah. I mean, take any of my heifers.
Hey, yep. We're just going tipping them cows.
Yeah, just tip them.
Yeah, we're tipping.
Why you gotta take them?
Yeah.
That's not nice.
Just tip the cows.
So John and Lavinia Fisher just so happened to be a part of this gang of highwaymen.
Air quotes.
Right. The townspeople began whispering about events that were going on at the two inns and gathered up a group of vigilantes, we'll call them. The mob first ran out the guests of the 5 Mile House and burned it to the ground. They then moved onto the 6 Mile Wayfarer Inn and again drove all the occupants out, leaving a local man named David Ross on guard to make sure John, Lavinia, and their accomplices I guess you could call them, their buddies didn't return.
Cohorts.
Their cohorts. There we go. That's what I was looking for. I was thinking like gang members. I was like, that's not right. So, well, not, I mean, it's kind of right. So two men the next morning show up at the 6 Mile Wayfarer the next morning and attacked David and brought him into where the highwaymen were. When he spotted Lavinia Fisher, he was relieved because he thought the beautiful woman would help him. Instead, she choked him and smashed his head through a window.
Joke's on you, dude.
Don't right? She's a pretty girl.
And more than just a pretty face. So somehow David escaped and ran away, leaving the highwaymen to reclaim the 6 Mile Wayfarer house as their, like, headquarters, I guess we'll call it. Their little HQ.
Well, I mean, the 5 Mile house burned to the ground, so they really... Yeah.
They had to go to 1 mile away.
Yep.
If the group of highwaymen that were occupying the inn let things cool down at this point, perhaps Lavinia Fisher's story would have had a different ending. However, just after David escaped, Lavinia was right back to her antics. She soon served a new guest by the name of John Peebles, some of her famous tea.
Just don't try the pudding. You don't want to try that either.
The pudding?
It's a Cosby joke.
Oh.
He was the voice of Jell-O for a while.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Interesting. But luckily for John Peebles, he didn't care for tea. But not wanting to seem impolite, he dumped the tea out while Lavinia wasn't looking. She cooked for him and chatted him up for some time afterward about all the normal things, like what he was going to buy or trade, what he did for work, et cetera, et cetera.
She's finding out about her mark.
Yeah, she's going pumping fishing. Pumping
for information.
She's going fishing.
The old honeypot. Mm-hmm.
Finally, she led him to his room for the night. But John Peebles got an uncomfortable feeling as soon as they were done talking. He suddenly realized that he disclosed a lot of information to Lavinia that might make him a target for robbery. You know,
shocker, you're in a place known for people getting robbed.
Right, like, no. In an attempt to stay up and keep watch over his things, John Peebles dozed off in a chair rather than the bed, and then a loud noise woke him up. He saw that the empty bed had disappeared into what was now a giant hole in the floor. John Peebles escaped his room via the window in his room and rode his horse in Charleston to alert the authorities.
Yeah, didn't he have to, like, jump out of a window to...
I literally just said that.
Yeah. So I wonder how far of a fall that was.
I think it's just like a regular, it wasn't like a regular house.
Yeah. So I know it was like a couple stories. So I'm trying to figure out like how they rigged it. That's like where my head's at. Like, how did they rig that back then to like open up? Because it wasn't like a hydraulic system.
So it's like a drawbridge. Yeah. Down. How the bed would fall? How would the bed stay up?
Yeah,
they nailed it to the floor.
Did they have nails back
yeah,
then?
Yeah, but the bed, yeah, the mattress, so. The mattress would fall still.
Yeah,
they strapped it to the bed.
I'm trying to figure this out.
Maybe they didn't. I don't know. Maybe they nailed the mattress to the fucking frame. I have no idea. Maybe they slept on fucking straw, and then the straw fell into the fucking hole.
If any of you listeners have an idea, let us know. Email us at creepsinthecrypt@gmail.com.
Maybe they did like a two pulley system.
Yeah, but I mean,
on like for both it to, sides.
For it to be a trap door, it has to just, you know, collapse.
Well, then I don't know.
They can't like slowly lower them like Frankenstein has Igor do. You know, it's like.
Well, you never know, okay? You never like know.
Slowest trapdoor ever.
Well, you might, I don't know, not want to try and wake him up or something. I don't know.
There's got to be a hinge or something, and then it just.
Yeah, like, but
Yeah, it has the mattress
and the pillows.
Who gives a fuck at the
pillows? Yeah, I mean, because there's probably tons of corpse. My pillows end up
on the floor every day.
Yeah, but there's probably tons of corpse slime down in that hole from all the bodies that they've got down there. You know what I'm saying?
They stapled the pillows to the bed, and they're not movable.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
I don't know. Now I'm just intrigued, but I'm getting us off topic. So I'm
spiraling now. Anyway, so now police had both David Ross's and John Peoples' testimony against the Fishers, and they immediately took action. In February of 1819, the sheriff collected another posse of citizens, some more vigilantes, if you will, and surrounded the 6 Mile Wayfarer house. They removed the Fishers by force, along with four other members of the gang, and set the inn ablaze. In an outbuilding, they found the hide of Stephen Lacoste's missing cow. And then John and Lavinia Fisher were taken to jail.
How would you be if you got taken to jail and hanged over a missing cow?
I mean, technically, they that's not the only thing she got hung for. So, you know. That was just one of the things. According to the legend, the police dug up the grounds surrounding the inn and discovered a maze of hidden passageways. They reportedly found items belonging to dozens of guests, a mechanism for opening the floorboards beneath the bed, and a plethora of human remains.
In all these stories, though, there's, and this is the main reason we're covering her. She is always painted as the ringleader.
Yeah.
So
I didn't even know she had a husband until I started looking into it more.
Like, clearly, she is the boss bitch in this situation.
Yeah.
So.
So John and Lavinia Fisher pleaded.
Yeah, Jesus. You're all right. Yeah.
I think I just had a stroke.
I mean, you just took a sip of Dr. Pepper and, like, your brain just quit working.
Literally.
23 flavors.
My word. They pleaded not guilty. I think I was trying to say pled, and my brain was like, nah, we're saying pleaded.
Pleaded. Like the dress.
Like a pant.
They pled not guilty. But at their trial in May of 1819, a jury sentenced them to death by hanging for the crime of assault with intent to murder. The courts, however, gave the Fishers time to appeal their conviction.
Why are you giving them time?
Because, I don't know.
Why? Why give them time?
This is before all of the, like, laws and stuff. So
to be fair.
It's literally the Wild West
involved, so I already knew there's no laws involved.
I know there's no laws when you're drinking claws. That's all I know.
I don't think there was white claws in 1819, but if but there were, there
wasn't.
If there were, it would be oleander tea. Because sometimes I also want to go to sleep or
make somebody else go to sleep.
Make somebody else go to sleep.
I mean, I feel that.
I'm blinking twice. I need help.
You don't
from me.
You don't need help.
Help me. I know. I'm a fucking dead man.
So while waiting on the appeal, the couple concocted an escape plan. Since they were kept in the same cell, which was not heavily guarded, so they can just like...
What's important to remember about the cell, though, is it's open to all the elements.
Well, right. I mean,
it's... Like, it's open to insects.
Yeah.
Rats. All the South Carolina winters, the South Carolina summers. Mm-mm. So it's a miserable fucking place. Like,
and it's in May? Ew.
Yeah.
Swampy. Soupy. That's all I'm thinking.
Yeah, like, a bunch of swamp ass.
It was basically torture.
Soupy cell. That's what they were in.
Yeah. They were in it together, though. So they concocted this escape plan. They were able to craft a rope out of blankets and lower it through a hole that John had created beneath their barred window. On the day of their planned escape, John made it safely to the ground, which why he went first, I don't know. Why wouldn't he let his wife go first? Seems a little bit selfish to me, John.
I'm not 100% sure.
Anyway.
But what he did next was not selfish.
No.
Maybe we wanted to make sure that it wasn't not safe.
I'm assuming he went first because if the thing fucked up and broke, he would probably fall to his fucking death.
Yeah,
that's fair. If it were the other way around and she died, I'd be like, why didn't he go first, huh? Why didn't he go first to make sure I was safe?
Yeah, so. And then our story would be over.
It's my girl brain. So, anyway... John goes down. He gets there safely. But when Lavinia tried to climb down, the rope snapped and left her stranded. So she's still up here in the jail cell. He's on the ground.
They basically use like sheets.
They're bed sheets. So John refused to escape without his wife. He stayed there. He's like, I'm not going anywhere. Which is noble. I'll give him that. And
as you say with disdain.
Anyway. So he started to devise a plan to break her out now that he's on the other side. But he was captured and imprisoned once again. He was foiled. Oh, well. Good try, John. In January of 1820, the courts formally rejected the Fishers' appeal and scheduled their execution for February 4th, 1820. The date was later pushed back so the Fishers could have time to make peace with God. The local minister, Reverend Richard Furman, counseled the couple to prepare them for their deaths. John begged the minister to save his mortal soul, but Lavinia wouldn't talk to him because she believed that there was a pardon coming. Joke's on her. But at the time, there was a law stating that married women could not be executed. So Lavinia thought she was safe. She's good. But the judge said there was no law against executing a widow, so he would simply have John hanged first.
What a fucking, like...
That's a power move, man. Yeah. That's straight up power move.
He's a legend.
Good thing. Wonder if
he was wearing a powdered wig back then, too.
Oh, my God.
That's what I envision.
Yeah. We'll just have him hang first.
Yeah.
He sounds like fucking Matlock. Like, stereotypical Southern lawyer.
There's no rule against a widow.
Yeah.
We'll just have him hang first.
Now, madam, there is no law against hanging a widow, so we're just going to hang your husband first. Just sounding like fucking Lindsey Graham.
Oh my God.
Stop it. So on the morning of February 18th, 1820, John and Lavinia Fisher were transported from their jail cell to the gallows. John quietly prayed with Reverend Furman and proclaimed his innocence to the crowd of onlookers gathered to watch the execution. Lavinia did not proceed with dignity. Donned in her wedding dress, she screamed and pleaded for mercy. She refused to walk to the gallows, so the guards had to drag her. Finally, coming to terms with her fate, she shouted into the crowd, quote, "If anyone has a message for the devil, tell me now, for I will be seeing him in a moment."
It's a great quote.
I mean, so there's multiple accounts of like what exactly she said. Some say it was this. Some say it was a little bit longer. I like this one better.
The one I'd read a couple of them, but one was like, if you have any something about she didn't need any like message from God or whatever.
Yeah, and then there was like one, if you have a message to go to hell.
Yeah, if you have a message for anyone in hell, I'll carry it.
Which
is fucking metal, dude. That's just metal as fuck.
I mean, I kind of like the one, if anyone has a message for the devil, tell me now, for I will be seeing him in a moment. And when she finished her, I guess we'll call them her last words, before the executioner could hang her, she promptly jumped off the scaffold on her own.
Oh, she went on her will.
Yeah, she was like, fuck you.
I'm going on my own accord. Yep. What a badass. I'm sorry.
I mean,
tough as nails, dude. You had to be back then, though.
Stick it to the man.
Yeah. And I wonder if the executioner didn't get paid that day.
Well, probably not.
Because he didn't execute anybody. Well, he executed John.
He got half the money. So then his family starved.
Damn, that must suck. He got a pence.
They're like,
look, fucker, you only did half the work.
Yeah.
She did the rest of the work for you, and that's free.
Dang. So, unfortunately, most of what actually occurred in the case of John and Lavinia Fisher has, of course, become exaggerated through the lens of time and passing the story on down from generation to generation. The true details are hard to find, though several newspaper articles from 1819 and 1820 do cover the events surrounding John and Lavinia's arrest and execution. As we all know, at least down in this area, the Low Country, South Carolina homes in the Low Country area specifically don't have basements.
They flood.
The groundwater is
too. It doesn't allow it.
They call it the Low Country for a reason. Yep. And it's not because we are down south. It's because we are very low. We are level with the ocean.
Here's a fun fact for you. When I worked at the cemetery, selling cemetery property about 10 years ago, there was certain sections of the cemetery where if you dug 6 feet, you were going to hit water.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. I can believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're in a bog. We're basically, like, if you really, like, if you guys aren't familiar with, like, where we're based out of, like, look at it on a map, come back, and then come back and listen.
I mean, we are 10 minutes from the ocean right now.
Yeah, we are literally, like, on a semi-man-built island.
If you go the intercoastal.
Yeah. A lot of people were like, I was actually kind of shocked. A lot of people didn't know that we were like, Myrtle Beach is like a man-built island.
I didn't know that it went all the way.
Oh, it goes all the way.
I mean, like, I guess I did know, but I guess I just, it didn't really like click in my brain.
The part that really blows my mind is the fact that they built it and then like, the hurricane zones, obviously when they built it, they were like, oh, we're going to build it as an island, and there's going to be, like, this awesome intercoastal that we'll do trade through, and it'll be awesome.
But, I mean, that's how a lot of ships get around going out into the ocean. But
the problem is that the way it's built, there's ocean and then basically sandbar, if you want to call it that, which is a huge flood zone because it's under sea level, and then water, and then under sea level because it's a fucking bog, and then it goes up from there.
So, like, a few years ago, like, when this place flooded out, Myrtle Beach was actually cut off from the outside world.
Yeah.
When?
Florence.
Yeah, Florence made it where there was
no
entry roads and no exit roads.
The only way in and out was 501. That was it.
But even that was flooded
for a while. It flooded one time. No, it flooded for like an afternoon.
Yeah.
When the water level crested, but
that was almost a year after AG was born.
Nope, there you go.
Little hurricane baby.
So
there was no wedding dress. Lavinia Fisher did not come out in her wedding dress.
It just adds more layers to the story.
So the newspaper article from that time, the 1819, 1820, confirms that the 6 Mile Wayfarer house was burned to the ground and none of the Fisher's belongings survived. So there was no wedding dress unless she went out and like bought one.
Yeah.
Or whatever, requested. I don't know. Anyway. In fact, nearly the entirety of the execution story is made up. The version printed in the local newspaper the morning following their deaths simply states, quote, "A little past 2 o'clock, the husband and wife embraced each other upon the platform. When the fatal signal was given, the drop fell, and they were launched into eternity. She died without a struggle or a groan."
I don't know what's more metal. I feel like that her not struggling or groaning and just accepting her fate. And just like, okay.
I mean, I kind of like the first one.
Yeah. The first one was cool, but I also like the one where she doesn't struggle or groan. She's like, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, it makes the ghost. The first one, like, the telling that we told here really plays up the ghost story that follows.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So there likely also weren't any murders. Two bodies were found in the woods surrounding the 6 Mile Wayfarer house shortly after the Fishers were arrested, but there's nothing tying the bodies to the couple. So how did we get from Lavinia, the historic highwaywoman, to the murderous legend? The execution of the Fishers garnered a lot of public interest, even quite literally to this day. Although Lavinia Fisher was not the first female sentenced to hang, it was novel to see a woman die for the capital crime of highway robbery, especially with her husband beside her. Much of the legend originates with a Scottish businessman named Peter Nielsen, who claimed that he was present at the Fisher's execution, which he wasn't, but he did choose to embellish and publish a version of the story with lots of salacious details nonetheless.
"You, good sir, are a liar.
You are a liar." Then, what's the real story here? It's hard to know for sure, but some believe that the Fishers were actually innocent victims.
They were just scapegoats.
Yeah. Maybe.
Like, the community needed a sacrifice.
Like, missing travelers and just needed something. Innkeepers that they just, like, saw.
Well, I feel like, you know, they found those two bodies in the woods and people just ran with it and
then
bloodlust ensued. But they say her ghost still haunts the old Charleston jail.
Yep, old city jail. And Ghost Adventures may or may not have been there.
Oh God.
Here we go.
Well, that's the episode I saw.
Yeah. No, you're...
That's how I know about Lavinia Fisher.
I'd heard about it from like a...
Never heard of it.
Urban Legends of South Carolina thing.
One part, I guess like the apex of the show, of that episode, is like Zack Sander with the little
spirit box.
That thing. I can't remember what I didn't know if that was a spirit box or the little thingy that talks to you. That's the
It's the same. They're the same thing.
Yeah, but the little circle one. That was like an echo.
Yep.
He said something like something about her last words, like if any of you have a message for the, and then the little thingy goes, "The devil," and you know.
Mm. Oh.
I mean, they say her ghost still walks the halls in her wedding dress, taking her rage out on unsuspecting people.
Mm. Well, see, she wouldn't take it out on me because I'm like, all right.
I'm pretty sure the devil only answers in AIM messages.
In AIM messages?
Yeah,
probably.
He's that behind.
No. the devil sends, like, he possesses, like, old women and children and taunts priests and things. That's kind of his bag, you know.
Have you heard of the Exorcist podcast?
No.
It's this, like, priest, or no, this exorcist guy who's, like, recanting all of his... Yeah, they're so good.
You already had me at exorcism. Eric! We add this to our sleepy time music.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called, hold on, it's like the Exorcist Files or something like that. It's actually really good. He reenact it, but not in like a cheesy way.
Oh, not like an NBC way.
Yeah, no. It's called The Exorcist Files by iHeartMedia. So good.
Well, we'll have to check that out.
I'm down. I'll put it in the group chat.
Send it to us. And if you guys want to check that out, that awesome plug, Sam. Well, that's going to do it for Lavinia Fisher. But Christian, would you like to do your duties?
See, we love you guys so, so much, and we appreciate all of the downloads and love that you guys have been showing us this week. We're still kind of tweaking the advertisements, so just bear with us on that.
We're trying to make it
where it's not so, like, overwhelming, because as somebody who doesn't like advertisements, I get it. That being said, make sure you guys are following us on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everything, and interact with us. We do love getting your messages. They do make our day, good, bad, ugly. We don't care. Like, we will look at them, and we will look at them.
And share the show on your social media.
You were just
we had to step all over, Eric.
Yeah. It's not your job, dude.
I'm sorry.
Make sure you guys are share the episodes and make sure you guys are downloading them. We really appreciate it. It helps the show. If you guys have any suggestions, we do appreciate those. But mainly it's sharing downloads. That is like our bread and butter.
Well, what I was going to say was if you share the show on your Instagram, so if you listen to us on Spotify, you can literally click the share button and share to your Instagram story. Tag us in the post and I'll repost it on our story. Thanking you. And yeah, leave us reviews. That definitely helps out. But yeah, downloading and sharing is the best way to get us out there because of some Instagram issues we've been having lately.
Are we still having those?
Yeah, no, we're still blackballed. Yeah, it sucks. But we'll be back next week with a new series on Albert Fish. So stay creepy.
Stay spooky.
And stay safe.